Hello, I'm John Alsop, and this is your Internet Marketing 5 a Day. First off, there's this persuasion technique called consistency, which social media is really important for. If you can get somebody to like your Facebook page or to follow you on Twitter, the idea is that you are many steps forward in persuading them to buy something. Because once they've taken that easy step and they are completely in control, they can like you on your Facebook page, and then they can unlike you. It's different to giving, it's an easier thing to do than to give away your email address when you are trusting the person you're giving your email address to. To look after it and not pass it on to spam outfits and so on. So you know, with an email address, you're trusting somebody. With liking and following, you're still in control. Same with RSS. So it's very much a thin end. It's a very, very thin end of a wedge, But still, there's an element of consistency in there. And the consistency thing is, having liked my Facebook page, you must have been in mind, you must have been thinking about buying something from me. So, given that, why don't you now buy something? The person having liked your Facebook page creates internal rules that are kind of consistent with the fact that they've done that. So if I were to like a woman's dressmaker, I might have to kind of go, well, all right. So having done that, what I've discovered is that I put a dress up on Pinterest this morning, and it was just an amazing dress. You know, what do I know? And what's it got to do with me? But it was a work of art. I mean, very kind of Spanish, kind of butterflies and leaves flying off it. It was a work of art. So, okay, so now I have a rule that says, all right, I'm not interested in dresses because I'm a bloke, but if a dress is so different that it's really a work of art, then I can admire that. And therefore, I like some dresses. And having liked it or pinned it, I'm kind of more likely then to pin others or to like others. I'm more likely, and also this is a design, a designer, a clothes designer, so perhaps I like more of them, perhaps I like them. So I'm one step closer because I've now internalized that rule. Now, well, I don't like dresses, but I do like this kind of outrageous art dress. Therefore, I'm one step closer to buying something. Because of my own internal rules, and the psychological principle is that I want to be consistent with my former behaviour. That's a motivator. So having done one thing, it kind of makes the path forward even easier for me to take. Go back to where we were. Now, the interesting thing was that in collectivist societies where people are more used to thinking about the community and to thinking about what they're being told to do, they do things more often because of those. Because they're being told to, and it doesn't hit their soul. Whereas in an individualistic society like the UK or the US, we are trained and used to defining ourselves by the things we buy and the things we do. So when we take a step forward, like liking something on Facebook, we more readily form those internal rules, and so we are more prone to that method of persuasion. That's the upshot. Those in individualistic societies are more prone to this consistency persuasion thing than collectivist ones, such as Asian countries. So that's that kind of, that's interesting. So thing, the internationalization of persuasion, what works in some countries won't work in others. Okay, next up is quite simple. I was just passing a restaurant in Scarborough, and it had in its window both the TripAdvisor logo and well, I don't know what that is. Is that a certificate? Well, there's a certificate that says Certificate of Excellence, so they got 5 out of 5. And they also got something that says 2011, and they put those both in their window, and that was the mainstay of their marketing in terms of getting people walking past to have a look. So TripAdvisor is really obviously fairly mainstream now, even though it's an absolute dog to use. So if you are that kind of establishment, obviously you will have a listing on TripAdvisor, and you can print out those certificates, and I guess that's going to work. Next up is this idea of, well, it's really it's usability stuff. The government has come up with some design principles for its digital service. This is in the UK I'm talking about, and actually under their section design with data, they talk about normally we're not starting from scratch. Normally we already have users using our services, which means that we can learn from real world behaviour, but also we can test using real world data. We can do A/B testing, that kind of thing, and we can, there's this idea of desire paths, which is an architectural phrase, which talks about how if you have a university campus, let's say, and you put in some kind of square paths, right angle paths across a grassy bit, people won't use it, they will cut across the grass and wear their own path. So a desire path is usually the fastest and most navigable way from A to B. So basically users, and actually there was a really nice, back in the day when the BBC were doing a revamp of one of their sites, they talked about allowing users to beat paths to data. So they had the idea of menus becoming easier to spot, menu choices becoming easier to spot depending on how many people clicked on them, and the popularity of the page to which they led. So there is a whole kind of organic thing there that's possible. But the crux of this is, when I'm talking to users, to clients, I'm always having an uphill battle with them to take on board the importance of user data, the importance of usability. Essentially, people just want what they want, and they come to me for a website or some marketing or whatever. And, you know, they don't want to spend their money on what the users want. they just want what they've got in their head. So I think this is perhaps the most important break You know, if you're thinking of having a website or thinking of changing something, snap that off and think in terms of usability. Think in terms of having a usability test, which is quite quick and cheap and easy. It comes out with all sorts of stuff that you wouldn't have thought of before. And it will, if you listen to the users, if you run usability tests and take on board what they tell you, it will change your online web life forever. So really, that's incredibly important, and everybody, you know, nobody gives a hoot about it. And what that means is, it's right there, it's cheap and easy, it's a USP of yours. If you take it on board, you are well ahead of the competition. Next up is just a kind of visual rule. Just focus, if you're doing visual things, ads and so on, just focus on what you're really doing, because the rule is, if you use a teddy bear to sell curtains, people will want the teddy bear. And finally, it was just really an overview of this book, Primal Branding. I won't go through all the different bits, because we'll go through those naturally in due course anyway, but a brand to be a primal brand, i.e. one that people take to their hearts and want in their lives, needs a creation story, a creed, icons, rituals, an enemy, sacred words, and the leader. So the book is called Primal Branding, and it's by Patrick Hanlon, and I commend it to you. That's it for today, and we will talk again tomorrow. All the best. Cheers. Thank you for listening.